thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And we welcome into our program more about life and taxes with Andrew Foster. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, Ben, last week we got into a little bit of the new tax law, and we said we kind of turned the page from the 2017 taxes with filing season now behind us, and now we need to move our attention on to what the new tax law says and see and make our listeners aware just of some of the things that have changed with regards to what's happening for their 2018 taxes.
Right.
And so we mentioned that one of the big pushes for the new tax bill was to, you know, increase that standard deduction, you know, all the way up to $12,000 for a single filer, $24,000 for married filing jointly. And in doing so, they're encouraging, individuals to, you know, take the standard deduction, and not itemize, their deductions. And also, in order to get the bill passed, through the budget reconciliation process that they used, they had to, you know, knock some of the itemized deductions out or lower some of the thresholds, in order to just make the math work.
Right.
And
right.
So it's important for our listeners to, you know, be aware of some of the itemized deductions that have changed for this, under this new tax bill. And so we started last week and we talked about, you know, that there's now a limit on the deductibility of state and local taxes.
Okay.
And
right.
That's going to be limited to $10,000. And also
Originally, I think it was going to be gone completely.
Gone completely, exactly.
That was negotiated.
Exactly. Right. And so now we, and also property taxes, Ben, the deductibility of property taxes. So the combined limit on state and local taxes, property taxes, is $10,000.
Okay.
So just, you know, be aware that, there's now a cap on that. Before, it wasn't capped, but you're right. There was a little bit of last-minute deal-making there to at least get the $10,000 limit put in place. We mentioned about the mortgage interest deduction with regards to it's now capped at a $750,000 limit versus the $1 million that it was for 2017. And, you know, we specifically mentioned that any acquisition indebtedness, meaning that you, you know, get a loan to build or buy a property, is going to be fully deductible up to that $750,000 limit. Where you have to be careful is the home equity indebtedness, and that's when you, you know, borrow against the equity that's in your home.
Right, right.
And we mentioned particularly that under the original tax bill, it looked like that no home equity indebtedness was going to be deductible on the interest. And they actually clarified that through a memorandum that said, okay, as long as you use those funds for home improvement, we're going to go ahead and allow you to deduct the interest associated with that home equity loan. And so, you know, we mentioned last week, you know, you build a, an addition to your house. You know, you make a repair, you make an improvement. All that is going to be fully deductible up to that $750,000 limit.
Okay.
Where you have to be careful is, and this is where the nuance gets, and this is an example that's actually in that memorandum. If you take that, you get a home equity line and you take that money and you go buy a second property with that money, that is actually not going to be deductible under the new tax
law. So you can't use the equity in your current house to get your next one.
That's exactly right. But if you went and got a separate loan, a standalone, you know, loan.
Right, you could.
You could, as long as the combined loans, you know, if you're over the 750, you'd have to prorate. But fully deductible up to 750. So just be careful. You know, that's a question when you go to make that home equity line. You know, make sure that when you use those funds, that you're meeting the guidelines if you plan on taking that, mortgage interest deduction.
You know, realtors need to know about this.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's a process a lot of people do. You know, they're in one house already and they're waiting to sell it, but they get the loan against it to put the down payment on the next one. And then when they sell their house, they pay it off.
Exactly.
You can't do that now. Exactly. Or you can't get the interest deduction.
Exactly.
You can do it, but you can't get the deduction.
Exactly. If you're looking to get that itemized deduction, then just be careful in the way you structure those particular deals to make mm-hmm. sure that you're passing muster with regards to the new law.
But if you were trying to sell your house and you needed to make some repairs to it, though, you could do that.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. This is where we kind of left off last week, which was the meals and entertainment category.
Mm-hmm,
and this
right.
one's pretty interesting. So, you know, the way it sits right now, entertainment, was 50% deductible. You know, you go and you take your clients out, mm-hmm. To a game,
right.
Or a show. You know, 50% of that can be deductible under the new tax law, looking at a big fat 0% deductible for entertainment.
Yeah.
And then the meals associated with taking clients out or taking out your business partners to discuss mm-hmm. Discuss business.
Right.
You know, 50% deductible under the old law, and then we got to put the question mark in on this one. You know, right now it looks like it's 0% deductible, but they, you know, the consensus is that more than likely there'll be some regulations that'll be issued that will say that, you know, those type of expenses will be 50% deductible mm-hmm. like they were under the previous law. But right now, the way that the law is written, just the standard language, it looks like it would be 0% deductible for, you know, those types of meals. But
contrast that
with being on the road.
Right.
When you're traveling, mm-hmm. you know, that's currently 50% deductible, and under the new law, it's 50% deductible. So you got a contrast there between taking clients out, you know,
locally
versus being on the road and traveling and the deductibility of meals that way.
People are going to be fudging that one around. We went out of town to eat.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, based upon everything I was reading and looking into it, this is one where they've asked for some clarification. I believe that they'll get it and more than likely the IRS will acquiesce.
Doesn't it already have isn't there already a threshold you have to meet though in terms of how much you have versus your adjusted gross income?
No, as far as the
deductibility,
business, yeah, just deductibility. Just keep your receipts and make sure that you can, you know, prove it. And that's the most important things when it comes to meals. The other one is meals for the convenience of the employer. We kind of mentioned this. Remember that Boston Bruins case where they actually won one over the IRS, where they were allowed to fully deduct their meals on the road because
uh-huh.
they proved that it was, you know, for the convenience of the employer, for the team to actually eat.
Right, right.
You know, so they had, so that was 100% deductible under the old law, and it was non-countable as gross income for the employee as a fringe
mm-hmm.
benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Under the new law, 50% deductible for that. So they kind of just slice that one in half for the employers. And I did mention, you know, office parties are still going to be 100% deductible. So go live it up, you know, at the Christmas time or maybe a nice summer party coming up in the next few weeks to get the season kicked off. Personal.
So if you had an office party where you invited your clients.
There you go. There's a way to maybe get around
that 50%. Okay.
That's right. Personal disaster loss. I thought this was pretty interesting especially for our location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were deductible as long as the losses, were more than 10% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're limited. The president needs to declare, it a natural disaster, in order to be able to deduct your casualty losses.
Hmm.
So this is interesting because, you know, let's say you have a fire or a flood or anything
right.
like that. You know, before you had this casualty loss, provision, that's now gone. And so you're basically relegated to, if there's a big hurricane that comes in here, natural disaster gets declared, you're okay. You can
mm-hmm.
claim those losses, but absent that, you're looking at no deductibility with regards to those losses. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a big one.
It puts it back on the insurance side of it. Then,
exactly.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But no insurance, what happens, Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in trouble there.
Yeah.
Alimony, is another interesting one where, you know, you structure it right. It's, the individual has to claim it as gross income, who receives the alimony. The
mm-hmm.
person who pays the alimony actually gets a deduction. At the end of 2018, that actually goes away. And so anyone who structures their divorce where they're paying out alimony isn't going to get that deduction with regards to the payments.
Does the other one still have to claim it as income though?
No. That would be out the window then at that point.
It'll be a wash.
It'll be a wash. But, you know, certainly a lot of people who are paying out that kind of money with regards to alimony need to be aware that that will be going away at the end of 2018. Some of the ones that kind of stayed the same, deductibility of medical expenses. It actually dropped back to the 7.5% adjusted gross income level for 2018. It goes back to 10% after those years after, but that one pretty much stayed the same. The $250 teacher deduction that we mentioned, where you can pay, you know, $250
out of your pocket,
pocket for school supplies and stuff for your classroom. It's an above the line deduction. You don't even have to itemize your deductions in order to take that for your teachers out there. That one stayed. The exclusion on the sale of the primary residence. So if you've lived in your primary residence for two of the last 5 years and you sell it, you can exclude gross from income $250,000 of gain.
From capital gains.
Capital gains, exactly. $500,000 if you're married filing jointly. That one stayed intact. And there was some big discussion about whether or not they wanted to change the threshold. You know, there was a 5 out of 8 year that was going around, you know, make the periods longer in time with regards to this exclusion. But, you know, they fought pretty hard for this, the realtors, and got it. So, you know, there you are. As long as you still meet the 2 out of 5 test, that one's going to be fully intact. And then your charitable contributions actually stayed the same, except for we got a little bump in cash contributions. You can now deduct, the limit is 60% of adjusted gross income versus 50% before.
So, yeah, because, with the standard deduction, there was a lot of charities were worried that people who are not itemizing now are going to not be giving to charity.
Yeah. And I've been reading a lot, Ben, about people, you know, trying to stack charitable contributions in 1 year, you know, to try to, you know, go over the standard deduction threshold for that particular year. You know, I've been reading some stuff on donor advised funds where you can kind of make a big lump sum contribution in 1 year to get the benefit of the deduction in that particular year, but where it's doled out over time. So, you know, there'll be some interesting strategies that maybe we can report on later with regards to charitable giving.
That's that old charitable remainder trust idea probably will be be highlighted again.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is going to be one that's going to be, you know, that we'll probably need to go more in depth on.
Be in contact with them, AFoster@harveyandcollins.com.